Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Awesome, awesome. Today we're going to begin a brand new series called God's Top 10. I don't know if you know this, but God invented the top 10 list. It was not David Letterman or anybody else who invented it. It was God. Amen. It's called the Ten Commandments. Okay? So we're going to go through the Ten Commandments this summer. So now before we start, there is something that I do want to get off my chest. There is something that I want to tell you on how God led me to this series. I believe, like many of you, that God will speak to us all the time, right? God speaks all the time. He's always leading and guiding us. But most of the time, it's us doing what? Not listening, right? And when we don't listen, sometimes God will send someone to give us a little nudge, a little help. Well, that person not listening was me. The person that God sent was Richard. I've been praying for direction for this new series that we're about to start now since April, even before April, because I knew this is coming and I needed something. You know, I planned these things way ahead because, you know, you want to hit the main points and you want to be timely with whatever the Holy Spirit is leading us in this season. So I've been praying, like, Lord, help me, guide me. So about a month ago, Richard came to the house and he had a Blu-ray in his hand and he said, Pastor, this is the Ten Commandments. You need to watch this. I mean, you know, I took the Blu-ray, put it in downstairs in the basement, and guess what? Right on. Never watched it. So a couple of weeks ago, here comes Richard. Pastor, what do you think about this movie? I didn't lie. I could have. Could have made up something and say, hey, yeah. But knowing Richard, he's not asking you have you watch it. He would actually ask you a question about it. So I figured I might as well come out clean and tell him that he did not watch it. So didn't, and you know, I was being truthful, but Kyla was not. I mean, I got to throw him under the bus right now, right off the bat right now. Because guess what? He's like, no, we did. I'm like, no, we did not. Not only that, and he made fun of that movie. We're talking about the 1956 movie. 4 hours long, and he was making fun of that movie. Totally ungodly. Totally off. So early this week, again, I'm back talking to God. Lord, help me. I need direction. And guess what God said? I have already spoken to you. Not once, but twice. And he reminded me of Richard's visit. So today, right here, in front of everybody and God, I want to apologize to Richard for not listening. We all need a Richard in our life. And, you know, Richard, thank you for being obedient. You had no idea you were being obedient. Can I borrow that DVD again? You got it? Oh, absolutely. Come on, bring it up. I mean, now everybody's my witness that I've got it and I'm going to watch it. Maybe we should do a movie night. How many with me? A 4-hour movie. Anyway, all right. I feel so much better now. Feel so much better now that you know. So Before we start reading Exodus chapter 20, I want to build a little foundation for this series, because I think it's going to set the stage for how we develop this series. The Ten Commandment, many of you might think, the Ten Commandment is a list of don'ts. It's a list of thou shalt nots. The Ten Commandment is a list of God's principle. God's principle about developing relationships. We're talking about relationship, number one, with Him, and then relationship with others. As a matter of fact, the first four of the Ten Commandments, they talk about relationship with God. And the last six, they talk about relationship with one another. So here's the roadmap, if you will, of our series starting this week. We will study one commandment at a time. Okay, so how long are we going to be in this series? 10 weeks. Oh my gosh, you guys are smart. So we're going to be in this for 10 weeks. And we're going to take our time because we're going to take one at a time. And I believe there's so much that God in His Word wants to reveal to us, to this body, in this time, in this season that we're in. I believe there's so much that we can draw from it. So are you ready? So, okay, let's read. First one in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 and 3. Okay. He says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the very first commandment. Very important because it sets the stage for all the rest. I would say this first commandment is the anchor for the other nine. From this very first commandment, I have three principles that I want to talk to you this morning. Principle number one. I believe this is a place where you want to write it down somewhere. Principle number one is this: a relationship based on who He is. That's the very first thing. That's the very first principle that we can draw out of that first commandment. A relationship based on who He is. The very first thing that He said was, I am the Lord your God. Now, this is not the commandment right there. This is just a statement that God is making. It's a statement that is serving as a key reminder. As a key reminder for everything else that He would actually say after that phrase. Everything else that He would say even afterwards hinges upon the fact that I am the Lord your God. It's relationship. God wants to make it solid right off the bat that He is your God. And He wants to build on that relationship, on that fact, on that truth that He is your God. He is your God. It's relationship. So God's number one priority here is His relationship with you. His relationship with us as the body of believers. It has been and will always be. That relationship is primary focus, will never change. Culture cannot change that relationship. Politics cannot come in and change that relationship. Family structure cannot come and change that relationship that God, our God, the Almighty God, the one and only God, wants to have with you and me. That will never change. As a matter of fact, He created Adam and Eve for relationship. He created them for relationship. In Genesis 1:26, God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. By the way, us here is meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the triune God. For all my Muslim friends watching right now, it's talking about a God that was there from get-go. That a Jesus that was there from the very beginning. Jesus is not the created being. Jesus is the creator. Before Allah, before Buddha, before Krishna was there, my Jesus was here. That's a fact. That's a truth. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. His image and his likeness are both eternal. They can never change. They can never be altered. God's image is pure. His likeness is pure. It's there forever. I am the Lord your God and I changed not. That cannot be changed. That cannot be altered. You know what else cannot be altered and changed? Our identity. Cannot be changed. Cannot be altered because we made in his image. We are created in his likeness. Our DNA carry his image. Our DNA carry his likeness. In verse 27, God says it again. God says it again in verse 27. He says, so God created man in his own image. In his image, he created him. Guess what? He created him male and he created him female. He says male and female, he created them. We were a spiritual being from get-go. We were created in his image because God is a spirit, so are we. God is speaking that in verse 27, and he's speaking to us in existence as a spiritual being. Male and female, he created us. Guess what? That cannot be changed, and that cannot be altered. Anything else other than this right here is not God's plan. I think it's important that we say this. Do you know what else that cannot be changed? His relationship with you. Cannot be changed. Cannot be altered. You know why? Because his relationship with you is based on his unconditional love. That cannot be changed. That cannot be altered because it has nothing to do with you, with your performance, with your abilities. It has everything to do with him, his likeness, his image, the way that he is, the DNA that he's downloaded and put inside of you carries that of who he is. His image, his qualities are already in you. The enemy might come in and try to confuse you about this, to rob you of your identity. But the Word of God is the only one that anchors the whole thing together, that keeps it all together. That cannot be changed. That cannot be altered. Now you might be thinking, since we're talking about relationship, and we're saying that this relationship is eternal, cannot be changed and cannot be altered, so why should I bother with growing as a believer? If we say that this relationship cannot be changed and cannot be altered, why grow? Why come to church? Why remain a believer? Why should I worship God? Well, I'm so glad you have those questions. I am so glad you're thinking this. Because I can guarantee you at some point in time, you've heard a message as such where God loves you unconditionally. No matter what, God will never change. But this is true. It can never change because he created you in his image, in his likeness. And that can never change. Because the Word of God says, I am the Lord your God and I change not. So if God cannot change and he created you in his image, guess what? You cannot even change your identity. Because you are made in his image. You are created in his likeness. And that can never, ever be changed. I went to the doctor's office last week. The very first thing that he's going down the list is checking this box and asking me questions and checking this. And it says, you know, comes to the place of gender. Says, you're a man. I said, yes, sir. And guess what he said to me? That can never be changed. He said to me, that can never be changed. I was like, amen. That can never be changed. Thank you, Jesus. The only thing that can break that relationship that we say that is eternal, right? We all agree on this. We all agree on this relationship with God is unconditional because it's based on his unconditional love, right? If we all agree on this, so what can break that relationship? Sin can break that relationship. That's the one and only thing that can come and disrupt that relationship. That is always meant to be eternal. That is always meant to be not being able to be altered or changed. But sin can break that relationship. I'm using the word break here on purpose. I'm using that word break here on purpose because that's the only thing. That's the only thing that can disrupt a relationship between mankind and God. God loves and will always love the sinner. God will always love the sinner, unconditionally, always. That can never be changed. That can never be altered. But the only thing that he hates is sin. That's because that's the only thing that can disrupt or break that relationship between God and you. Let's go there for a minute. What if we were able to alter and change the relationship with God? You know, if we were able to actually do this, we would actually be in a position where we can actually negotiate with God concerning sin. We can come up to God and say, Lord, you've given us this word. Thousands of years ago, we live in a different culture, a different society. Things have changed. You know what doesn't change? Him. His character, the way that he is and the way that he's created you and me, that can never be changed. Not by society, not by culture, not by anything. So, the relationship itself is eternal because it can never be changed. If it could, we would bargain with God. It will give us a platform where we can actually negotiate with him. You and I, we've never been given this platform to negotiate with God concerning sin. A sin is a sin, no matter what. It doesn't change. That is the only thing that can disrupt or break a relationship with God. Now you hear for the very first time and you're hearing this. You're like, oh my goodness. Why is this pastor being so harsh on us? No, I'm not. I'm just simply telling you the truth. Amen. Here's what the scripture says in Isaiah 59:2. It says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your iniquities have broken the relationship between God and you. And then he goes on and he says, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Can you imagine? Like if you want to have an encounter with God, his face is not even seen by you. Because sin has come in and has disrupted or broken this relationship where you no longer see him. And then he says, so he will not hear. God will no longer hear. Us as a nation, we're crying out, Lord, come. That's become the hard cry of the church as a whole. God is calling the church to stand up for what is right. To stand up for the truth, the word of God that can never be changed, that can never be altered. So that is why whenever we hear the Ten Commandments, and sometimes you hear that being a hot topic in some places, where they want to take that away, thinking, oh, this is outdated. It's no longer relevant. We live in a more modern and more advanced and more sophisticated society. There's no place, there's no room for that. But everything else that God has created after this was designed on those key principles that we talk about. We're talking about the principle of relationship. God first. Starting with that relationship. If God is not first, there's no relationship that we can have that can be ever long-lasting, fruitful, if God is not first with other people. How can we have a fruitful relationship in our marriage if God is not first? How can we be good parents, leading our kids, teaching them the word of God, and not compromising the truth if we don't put God first? And I'm talking about putting God first in everything. In our marriage, in our finances, in everything. God needs to be first. That is something that he cannot negotiate. We cannot go to God and say, you know what? I'm going to let you first in this area, but not in this one. This one, but not this one. He wants to be first and first in everything that you do. Sin will always separate you from God and break that relationship. But there's good news. There is good news, because that broken relationship, for that broken relationship, he sent his son. He sent his son. In John 3:16-17, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. See, he's talking about a relationship that will be eternal. It was broken, but God sent his son to repair, to restore that broken relationship, so that this relationship can be eternal, can be everlasting. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did not send his son to condemn you for that broken relationship. Amen. For a long time, you've been blaming yourself. You've been blaming somebody else for your broken relationship with God. Quit. Don't blame somebody else for that broken relationship that you have with God. Turn to God. Turn to Christ. Let him repair and restore the broken relationship. Because only him can restore a broken relationship between you and God. Only him. Only him can repair that broken relationship. And that leads me to principle number two. A relationship where God, where only God is worship. Only him is worship. This is where we get the main part of the commandment. See, the whole thing that we were talking about earlier was the stage, the platform where upon which we have this commandment. Because if we forget that the fact that God gave us everything for a relationship, we can jump onto this there and think, oh man, what kind of God is this? He wants nothing else before him. We might. I did. Well, let's read it first. In verse 3 it says, you shall have no other gods before me. I want you to pay attention to the words before me. Because when you read this in the English language, guess what it says? Guess what you might think? Because I thought the same thing too. Before means before, right? But what if I can have other gods after? Am I the only one who thinks like that? I mean, when I read stuff, I'm reading it the way it is. It says, you shall not have any other gods before me. What if I have a couple of them after? What if I keep a few that are after? As many of you would know, I mean, I didn't receive Christ until I was in my 20s. I grew up Hindu. I mean, we serve a million gods. A million. Can you imagine for a minute trying to serve a million gods equally? I mean, it would drive you nuts. Well, guess what I did? I developed my 10 favorites. I mean, no kidding, that's what I did. When I needed something, when I needed to study really hard for an exam, guess what? I went to the god, well, in Hindu it's called Ganesh, so this guy with a big elephant head. He's the god that gives me, the god, little g, for those little ears that are hearing right now, you know, I don't want to confuse you. These were the type of god that I grew up serving. I thought this elephant god can actually give me every intellect that I need to pass this exam. Every morning I'll go there. You know, we do our ritual. We had altars in the house and we'll go in and we'll do all of this. My mom will pray for me, give an offering and do all this kind of stuff. But I developed my top 10 list of all my favorites. And I will go to each one depending on what I need. But guess what happened? None of them spoke. They were all dumb idols. So I served that for years growing up. But after I received Christ, guess what I did? Because I knew that scripture, I read this, you shall serve no other gods before me. So I put Christ first. Like all of you would do. But guess what else I did? I put other gods after him. Those gods that I put after him were, I don't know, soccer was one of them. That was a big struggle of mine. That became, I mean, you know, at college, that was it. My life was revolved around soccer, around education, around career, around traveling, around all kinds of stuff that was nice and cool that I did not want to let go of. I mean, God is not like this. I mean, you know, old God that, you know, it's like dry and boring, don't want you to have any fun at all. No, God was not trying to do this to me, but that's the way I understood it. God still wanted me to have fun. God still wanted me to actually do things within his guideline. There's certain things that I used to watch and the Holy Spirit was saying, that's not right. Certain type of music I was listening to, and the Holy Spirit came in and said, no way. So I had to place God, Christ, first, and make sure that there was no other gods that came after him. Took me a while to get there. Because there was this battle in my life where all these other gods were competing for that number one spot. What about you in your life? What could be that little G God in your life that is competing for that number one spot? I mean, we live in the most beautiful state in all USA. No doubt. Beautiful out there. You want to go and hang out. Why are you guys here? Why did you guys come this morning? I mean, seriously. Why were you not outside and enjoying the beautiful day and hanging out with your family and what have you? But you've decided to make a choice. That's why you're here. That's why God is honored in what you did this morning. You're here for a reason. You've decided to put Him first and not a hike, not anything else. That is amazing. It took me a while to get to that point. Because guess what? On Sundays, when I'm supposed to go into church, guess what will come on? It never fails. It never fails. I mean, every time I'm like, Man United is coming on, and they're playing on a Sunday. Lord, what do I do? I mean, this is important stuff, Lord. I mean, I was acting like as if they were paying me to watch this game. That was my livelihood. But then I came to my senses. And I said, man, what am I doing? Yeah, exactly. There was something called a DVR. I could actually record and I could actually watch these things later on. They were not that important to my life anymore. I made sure that Christ was first, and I also made sure that there was no other God after Him. They were in my secret back pocket. Yeah. Nobody knew. I mean, I was in church. Who else would know that I've got a pocket full of little gods right here? Nobody knew, but I knew. He knew. He knew the battle that I was facing week after week, trying to juggle, and each one of these little gods, they were fighting for that number one spot. It was an internal struggle that I was going through. God will not share that relationship with anyone or anything else. The principle here is a relationship where only God is worshipped. Only Him. Only Him. The words before me here are so important, because when you read this in the Hebrew translation, this is what it says: other than me. Or besides me. And here's how Isaiah would actually say it in Isaiah 45:5. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. No other. No other. And there is no God besides me. See, you know, when I was reading this, I was like, hey, man, I can get away with this. Because if it says before, why can I have after? But here, God got me covered all over. I mean, you know, He's like, okay, I got you right there, buddy. You think you can be smarter than me? Here it is. Read this. God will not fight for your worship. I need you to catch this. God will not fight for your worship. He will not. He will not. God will not fight for your attention either. He will not. God will not fight to be first in your life. He will not fight. He will not fight to be first in your life. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33. You're all familiar with this scripture. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The seeking is your job. The seeking is my job. That's it. That's it. I must do my part. And that leads me to principle number 3. We're doing great on time, man. Doing real great. Principle number 3 is this. The strength of that relationship depends on us. How strong we want that relationship to be does not depend on anybody else, including me. Including me. the strength of that relationship between you and God depends on you. The strength of my relationship between me and God depends on me. On me. In Exodus chapter 20, this is the part where the Ten Commandments have already been given. Moses is coming down the mountain. And he knows exactly what God has given. God has spoken to him. He comes down and the people were afraid. The words say that they were trembling. They were scared that Moses was coming down. And listen to what they said to Moses in verse 19. Exodus 20 verse 19, it says, "You," this is the people addressing Moses, "you speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us lest we die." Guess what, friends? When God speaks to you, yes, you will die. Yes, you will die. You must die. "For I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but he who lives in me." You must die. But here, the people were not really understanding it the way that we are saying it right now. They were saying this, like, "Moses, we don't want to hear God directly. We don't. You hear God for us. You hear God for us." Basically, the people wanted their relationship with God to be a byproduct of Moses' relationship. They didn't want to have a personal relationship with God. They wanted Moses to have that relationship and theirs to be a byproduct of Moses' relationship. "You speak to him and tell us what he says." So in verse 21, "So the people stood afar." Meaning they stood far from God. They didn't want to have anything to do with God. They stood far apart with God. But listen to what Moses did. Moses drew near. He drew near. He drew near the thick darkness where God was. Moses drew near to God. So as we're getting ready to take communion, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about your relationship with God. I want you to draw near to him. How many churches are like this these days? Where they would actually expect or want the pastor to climb up the mountain every week and to come down on Sunday and tell us what God says. Come down on Sunday and tell us what God says. And by the way, pastor, don't tell us anything that would challenge us to grow. Make sure that you are tight on the message. That you don't deviate and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to anything that would challenge me to grow. Keep it tight, because guess what? We got something else going on in about 10 minutes. Keep it tight. Keep it short. God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He wants you to climb up that mountain by yourself. on your own. And he wants you to have a personal encounter with him. I preach myself out of a job right now. But really, I want you to climb up the mountain by yourself, where you can have the same type of encounter that Moses did, where you drew near to him. The only way you can draw near to him is when you're alone by yourself. When you put time aside for him. When you look at your schedule, your calendar, God is first in there. Like you started today, your week, with him first. That can give you an idea of whether or not God is first in your life. Is he first in your finances? A quick look at your checkbook would actually say that. I mean, you know, we can't lie about this. Is God first? Is God first? Either he is first or he's last. God will not take or share the stage with someone else or anything else. That includes your family. That includes your marriage. That includes your finances. That includes everything. Is God first? Or are you just going through the Christian motion? Pretending that everything is well because you're able to quote a few scriptures. You're able to say this and make it tie in with something that has nothing to do with what God is saying. And make it sound very spiritual where it's not. God will never change. I am the Lord your God and I change not. God will not compromise his word, his promises. It will always stand by itself. The word can never contradict itself. That relationship that God wants to have with you can never be altered, can never be changed, because that's the type of God that we serve. So as we wrapping up that very first commandment, I'm hoping that it's speaking to your spirit right now. I'm hoping that you're seeing God wants to have this relationship with you, that everything else about this commandment is not a list of don'ts, of thou shalt nots, but it's a list of principles that God wants you to have, to put into practice in your life, where you can have this amazing relationship with him. So the key to hold this, to wrap this up, is to draw near to God. To draw near to him. To put him first. The word says in James 4:8, it says, draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. In that relationship, it starts with you. You making that first move, draw near to him. And he will draw near to you. It depends on you drawing near. Many, many, many years ago, I made that decision to draw near to him and allow him a spot in my life where he sits on the throne of my life, where he dictates everything that I do. The moment I made that decision, stuff starts shaking in my life. God starts to rearrange stuff in my life. Or at least pointing me in the direction of some of the stuff that I needed to work out of my life. Certain relationships that I need to work out of my life. Because those relationships were sent by the enemy to rob me of God's ultimate plan and purpose for my life. Sin is very attractive. Very attractive. Sometimes it comes in the shape of a person. Sometimes it comes in the shape of a material thing. Sometimes it comes in the shape of an emotional thing. Where we've made that emotional state so profound in our life where it's come in and it's robbed us from God's plan. Today I'm going to challenge you to make a change. Because I know I'm speaking to a lot of people right now. I'm challenging you to make a change. To allow the Holy Spirit to shake you up. Shake you up so that He can shape you up. Into what He's called you to be. You know, we say, Lord, you are the potter, and I'm the clay. When God takes the clay, the very first thing that he does with this pile of mud, He takes it and He smacks it down on that thing, whatever you call that. What is that called? The wheel. Smacks it down and He throws some water on it and He bashes it down and he puts it. I mean, this is God shaping you. I'll be lying if I tell you that would be comfortable. It certainly was not comfortable for me when I left the Hindu religion. The pool, the relationship, family relationship that I needed to reshuffle, to readjust, to change. The amount of heat that I got from being different was enormous. The pressure was to go with the flow. Why make those changes? Certain people didn't want to have anything to do with me. Certain family members rejected me. I mean, it was on and on and on and on and on and on. But I felt like my life was this pile of clay on this potter's wheel where He's shaping, He's molding, He's making me to something brand new. I believe God is ready to do this in your life right now if you would allow Him. Would you please stand? As we get ready to take communion, I want you to draw near to that potter's wheel. Look at yourself as a pile of mud. Say, Lord, I'm ready to come to that wheel. Because all the disciples in that upper room during the Passover meal, that's exactly what they did. They drew near to Him. They drew near to God. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, He says, and He took the bread. Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. And He gave it back to them. And He said, this is my body, which is given for you. And He reminded them. That's where we get the term memorial. He reminded them. It's a memorial right there. He reminded them that He is doing this for them. God's body was broken for you. And He said, do this in remembrance of me. Relationship was what it was all about. So would you please take and eat? And in verse 20 he says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Would you take and drink? This blood is symbolic of that eternal relationship that cannot be changed, that cannot be altered by anything. That is that eternal relationship that God wants you to have with Him. Because of that blood, the blood created a relationship, a covenant relationship. Not just any kind of relationship. We're talking about a covenant relationship. Because the blood made it covenant. That DNA that we talked about, that's where it comes from. That makeup, that's where it comes from. Through that covenant relationship that you have with Him. Many of us are walking around not knowing that we have that DNA already inside of us. Because from the beginning of time, we were created to be in that relationship with Him. Some of us are walking around not knowing that truth. I certainly walk around for years not knowing that I was created for that truth. Real quickly, I share one little story, and with that, I'm going to close and pray. When I was born a Hindu, you know, as a baby boy, your dad, your father would take you to the priests. Well, the priest is no other than a sorcerer. He certainly was. Come to know him much after. Some of the stuff that he did and said was out of this world. Probably if I say those things here in church, might not even be appropriate if I say this. But this sorcerer who named me looked at this giant book, opened that up based on the month, the year that I was born, based on the stars that was aligned on that specific day when I was born, when my mom gave me birth. He looked at all of these and he came up with a name. And he told my dad that you will name this boy, not Shannon. You would name this boy Eganaden. Eganaden. For years growing up, I had no idea what this thing meant. I was ashamed of this name. In fact, in college, I would never, ever tell anyone about this name. When Dawn and I were dating at ORU, guess what? I kept that away from her too. Until a letter came in the mail and like, who is this? Years down the road, given my life to Christ in England. Now I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's this girl that we used to work together. And she's from India. And she knew the ancient Hindu Sanskrit, which is kind of like Latin. Kind of like a dead language. No one really knows this. But she knew. She knew that name that was my name. She said, do you know what your name stands for? What it really means? No idea. My name means servant of one God. Servant of one God. From the beginning of time, even when the sorcerer was trying to find a name that would be appropriate for me, God had a hand in it. God knew my name. He knew that this name would serve a purpose years down the road. Today I carry this name proudly. Servant of one God, coming out of a background that serves a million God. How odd is this? I could understand if he was servant of the 10 favorite gods, which I was trying to come up with. But my name was a servant of one God. And I came to know his name was Jesus years after. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you've created us for a divine purpose. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to recognize that the relationship with you is the most important thing in all our life, Lord God. You've created us to have a genuine relationship with you. Lord, help us. Help us to be real, to be genuine, and not to hide behind anything that would mask who we are, that would mask our true identity. That, Lord, that you created us in your image, in your likeness. Let us embrace this with pride. That the one and only true God, the one that hung the stars in the universe, created me, created you. How amazing is this? We thank you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.